on BBC Radio 3 this afternoon. A very good afternoon to you from me, Ian Skelly. I'm here to guide you through our programmes this afternoon on Radio 3. In just a couple of minutes' time, we continue with little-known Renaissance and Baroque music by Croatian and Dalmatian composers of the time, all explored by the Early Music Show. And then at 2, there's a chance to hear the recital given last Monday, live here on Radio 3, from Wigmore Hall by the pianist Christian Hadlant, piano sonatas by Mozart and Schubert. That's at 2. But with the time now at 1 o'clock, time for a summary of the BBC News this lunchtime. The government says it won't rush in tax incentives for married couples as a way of softening opposition to its plans to legalise same-sex marriage. There had been suggestions that the change could be made in the budget next month to win over Conservative backbenchers who are unhappy about the plans for gay marriage. MPs will vote on that issue in the Commons on Tuesday. France's National Assembly has taken the first step towards approving draft legislation which will allow gay couples to marry and adopt children. Members voted 249-97 in favour of redefining marriage as being an agreement between two people rather than necessarily between a man and a woman. Large crowds have turned out on the streets of Timbuktu in northern Mali to welcome the French president, François Hollande, 6 days after the town was captured by French and Malian forces from Islamist rebels. Mr. Hollande, who's on a one-day visit to Mali, paid tribute to his country's troops. 5 men accused of the rape and murder of a student in Delhi have pleaded not guilty to the charges against them. The attack on the 23-year-old woman in December sparked national outrage. Last night, India's cabinet approved harsher punishment for rapists, including the death penalty. The Ministry of Justice has launched an urgent investigation into prison food, which was labelled as halal, but was found to contain traces of pork. The affected pies and pasties have been withdrawn, and the prison service has suspended its contract with a food supplier. Police in northwestern Pakistan say at least 13 soldiers and 10 civilians have been killed in an attack on an army checkpoint near the Afghan border. The checkpoint was attacked by about 30 militants armed with assault rifles and grenades. The Hadrian's Wall Trust is warning that the World Heritage Site is being damaged by weather and by too many people walking there. The Trust is urging large groups of visitors to give advanced warning of their arrival, but says it doesn't want to discourage them from visiting. The weather, it'll be a cold, dry and mostly sunny afternoon with a scattering of wintry showers affecting eastern coasts. And that's the BBC News and the weather. Later this afternoon, the first of 4 programmes in which 4 prominent historians offer their personal musical narrative inspired by a particular period in history. This afternoon, the series begins with Simon Sharma, who depicts the period in Europe between 1913 and 1938, from the advent of the First World War to that of the Second. And as the social and political atmosphere became explosive, so too the music. His selection begins with Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring, which caused a riot when it was premiered in 1913. And the music remains just as hot and vibrant throughout the programme. Examples from Gershwin, Bartok and Shostakovich. All in Saturday Classics with Simon Sharma at 3 o'clock this afternoon here on BBC Radio 3. But next, it's time for the first of this weekend's editions of the Early Music Show. And today, Catherine Bott heads out to the Adriatic.
Skale gledajući. Ensemble Renaissance with an anonymous 16th century song, Break Heart, from the Adriatic island of Hvar. It's one of a chain of beautiful islands off the coast of Croatia, popular with tourists and holidaymakers. But for many centuries it was part of the autonomous region of Dalmatia. And yes, that is where the spotty dogs come from. The song we've just heard, an account of the tormenting of Christ, is from a disc called Journey Through Dalmatia, a journey we're taking in today's early music show. We'll be hearing music from a handful of composers who lived and worked in Dalmatia, including some pieces specially recorded for the programme by the BBC Singers. The first of those recordings will be along in a few minutes, but before that, let's go back a few centuries to the medieval tradition of singing in church, not in Latin, but in the local vernacular. The Glagolitic alphabet is the oldest known Slavic alphabet from the 9th century. It was used throughout Eastern Europe until it was replaced by Cyrillic and Latin scripts during the Middle Ages, except in Croatia, where the Glagolitic alphabet was kept alive until the mid-1800s. We're going to hear the chant Buce moi, a setting of the Latin text Populus meus, Christ's reproachful cry of, My people, what have I done to you? Preserved in the Glagolitic script in the region of Poljica, just east of the modern-day city of Split. It's sung here by the vocal ensemble Dialogos.
Oh.
an anonymous 14th century Glagolitic chant from the Croatian region of Polica. When this programme was being put together, it soon became clear that most of the composers were largely unknown and their music was pretty hard to come by. But thanks to Dr. Bojan Bujic, Emeritus Fellow at Magdalen College, Oxford, we were able to lay our hands on the scores for a lot of the pieces we're about to hear, many of them in his own editions. As you might expect, biographical details for these composers can be pretty sketchy. Bojan Bujic is the man to ask. First, here he is on composer Julius Kiavetic.
You called him Julius Kiavetic, and this is already an interesting illustration of the bilingualism which pervaded in Venetian Dalmatia and today's Adriatic coast of Dalmatia. This is his Slavonic name, Kiavetic. He was equally known, and his work published under the word Skiaveto, in other words, the little Slav. He came from Šibenik, where this Skiaveto and Skiavetic family is recorded in both forms in various books. Where he learned his craft is not known, but he served Girolamo Savorniano, who was a bishop of Šibenik in the middle of the 16th century. And because Savorniano became very important in the proceedings of the Council of Trent, Skiavetic went there with him too. And the music that came out of Skiavetic's pen is of the typical North Italian Venetian style with some influence of Villert and Derore.
Robert Hollingworth conducted the BBC singers in that setting of the Pater Noster, Our Father, by the 16th century Croatian composer Julije Skjavetić. There's always been a strong link between the politics and the culture of the Dalmatian region and its western neighbours in Italy. And as you might expect, during the 16th and 17th centuries, there was a great deal of musicianly cross-pollination in both directions. As a result, a number of Italians ended up working in Dalmatian churches in Dubrovnik, Split, or, like Tommaso Cecchino, on the island of Hvar. Here's Bojan Bujic again.
Hvar is very well known by British tourists now. It's become an extremely popular holiday destination. Those who flock to the busy bars on the waterfront may not even notice the rather sumptuous big cathedral on the main square. And there, Cecchino became maestro di cappella in the early years of the 17th century. This was a period of prosperity and security in Venetian territories after the Battle of Lepanto, when the Turkish danger in the Adriatic ceased and the new wave of optimism was felt. Cecchino's first post was at the cathedral of nearby mainland town of Split. There he served the Archbishop Marcantonio de Dominis. But de Dominis became interested in Protestantism and was then, for various theological and financial reasons, dismissed. And in December 1616, the Dominis arrived in London, an apostate and trying to curry favour at the court of James I. James gave him the title of the Dean of Windsor, and he became well known in London ecclesiastical circles. Some of Cecchino's patrons and friends in Split were also interested in Protestantism, and Cecchino therefore felt, with the fall of power of Marcantonio de Dominis, that he too has to go somewhere where he would be safer. And he went to Hvar, which was then a place where Venetian fleet of that middle part of the Adriatic used to spend its winters, a prosperous place, where, of course, he was able then to continue as maestro di cappella, but also as a prolific composer. He died in 1644, having published in Venice a whole string of both secular and sacred works. A lot of the liturgical pieces that he wrote were dedicated to the chapter and various members of the clergy of Hvar Cathedral, and, of course, performed there.
Bojan Bujic. We're going to hear two pieces by Cecchino now, a glorious setting of Laudate Dominum, sung by five soloists from the BBC Singers, and first, Cecchino's setting of Psalm 112, Beatus Vir, Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord.
Thank you.
Robert Hollingworth conducted those two pieces by Tommaso Cecchino, Psalm 150, Laudate Dominum, Praise the Lord, and before that, Cecchino's setting of Beatus Vir. The organist was Richard Pierce, the theorbo player Eligio Quintero, and the soloists in Laudate Dominum were Michaela Haslam, Olivia Robinson, Edward Gota, Neil McKenzie, and Adrian Peacock. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, and the focus of today's programme is music from the ancient region of Dalmatia, subsumed into modern-day Croatia. As we've already gathered, Tommaso Cecchino was an Italian who spent the latter part of his career working in the city of Split and on the Adriatic island of Hvar. We're going to hear another piece by Cecchino now, which uses the full forces of the BBC singers. It's a Magnificat for two separate choirs, written for the singers at Hvar Cathedral. Robert Hollingworth conducted the BBC singers and organist Richard Pierce in that setting of the Magnificat by Tommaso Cecchino in a recording made specially for the Early Music Show. one of the most important homegrown composers active in Dalmatia at the same time as Cecchino was Ivan Lukacic. He was born in the important coastal city of Šibenik, where he received his early musical education. But like Cecchino, he also got a plum job as an organist at Split Cathedral, further up the Adriatic coast. Did these two composers ever meet? Here's Dr. Bojan Bujic, Emeritus Fellow of Magdalen College, Oxford.
Split was, of course, an important place. It was the largest city in that middle part of Dalmatia, and Cecchino and Lukacic may well have met. But there is no likelihood that there was any direct contact between them, not musically speaking. Lukacic wrote a lot of his music just before he took up his appointment in Split, at the end of the second decade of the 17th century. But then soon after that, he became enmeshed in the politics of his order. He was a Franciscan, whereas Cecchino was a layman and a married man. If they met, there was no musical connection, though whilst Cecchino's activity increased considerably during the 1620s, Lukacic, because of his administrative duties in the Franciscan order, stopped composing altogether.
Two pieces by the 16th century Croatian composer Ivan Lukacic, sung by the BBC singers. Panis Angelicus from Psalm 8, The Angel's Bread Becomes the Bread of Men, and before that, Ex Ore Infantium, a setting of words for Corpus Christi by the medieval theologian Thomas Aquinas. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. In 1620, Lukacs published a collection of sacred songs, Sacri Canciones, containing 27 motets for between 1 and 5 voices with organ accompaniment. The only known copy of the collection was lost during the course of the Second World War, but thankfully rediscovered in the 1980s in the Jagiellonian University in Krakow. Here's one of those motets now, Quem admodum desiderat, as pants the heart for the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O Lord. A setting of Psalm 42, 41 in the Vulgate. It's for tenor and bass voices, and it's sung here by Stephen Jeffs and Edward Price of the BBC Singers. Tenor Stephen Jeffs and bass Edward Price with organist Richard Pearce in Quem admodum desiderat by Ivan Lukacs. They were directed by Robert Hollingworth in that recording specially made for the Early Music Show. The next composer in today's programme was perhaps the most famous Croatian musical export of his generation, Vinko Jelic. Although he was born in the town of Rijeka, Croatia's largest seaport, Jelic spent much of his working life abroad, in Austria and France. Bojan Bujic.
Jelic didn't get any of his musical training in Italy. He came from Rijeka, but the proximity to the Austrian lands meant that his training took place in Graz, though, of course, Italian composers were very popular in German lands at that time. Interesting further Habsburg connection took Jelic very far from his birthplace in the northern Adriatic area. He became a member of the musical establishment in Savern, or Zabern in German, in Alsace, because Ferdinand's brother Leopold was then the Bishop of Strasbourg and Passau and held his court in Zabern. And indeed, the outbreak of the 30 Years' War and the destruction that took place around the cities in Alsace at that time, probably claimed Jelic as a victim. He possibly died in 1636 or thereabouts, just after the French troops invaded and captured Saverne.
Bojan Bujic. We're going to hear two works by Vinko Jelic, and they're not in the grand choral tradition of some of the music we've already played in today's programme. These are smaller, more intimate pieces. A rapturous motet for soprano solo, Sancta et Immaculata, followed by a three-part motet for male voices, Domine Deus Meus.
Habitatione, habitatione mea. Et tu.
Robert Hollingworth conducted those two pieces by the Croatian composer Vinko Jelic, Sancta et Immaculata, sung by soprano Emma Tring, and Domine Deus Meus, sung by Stephen Jeffs, Robert Johnston and Edward Price, all of them members of the BBC Singers. The organist was Richard Pearce, and the theorbo was played by Eligio Quintero. A move away from vocal music now, and to a major Dalmatian city that's only had a passing mention so far, Dubrovnik. Today it's a big tourist destination sitting at the southern tip of the Croatian map, but in the Middle Ages, as an autonomous maritime republic, Dubrovnik was one of the most important seaports in the whole of the known world. By happy coincidence, this weekend sees the celebrations for Dubrovnik's patron saint, Blaise, who's also patron saint of the wool trade. These two anonymous contradances were particularly popular with Dubrovnik's nobility during the 18th century. They're played by Ensemble Renaissance. Ensemble Renaissance with those two lively contradances originating in the Croatian city of Dubrovnik. And Dubrovnik was the home of the last composer in today's early music show, Luka Sorkočević. In 1667, Dubrovnik was hit by a catastrophic earthquake, and the fire that followed destroyed much of the city and killed nearly half its citizens. Luckily, the Sorkochevich family and their properties survived almost untouched, and as the city began to rebuild, they became a hugely influential dynasty in 18th-century Dubrovnik politics and culture. Luka Sorkochevich was taught music by the Italian maestro di cappella at Dubrovnik Cathedral, Giuseppe Valenti, and Luka eventually became one of the most prominent musicians and ambassadors in Europe during the mid-18th century. Here's Bojan Bujic once again.
Luka Sorkochevich, a member of a very distinguished aristocratic family from Dubrovnik, was probably a typical 18th century erudite aristocratic patron. He was also an active diplomat on part of his Dubrovnik Republic. He was able to study in Italy and probably studied with Rinaldo di Capua, but spent some time in Vienna, where he was acquainted with Haydn, with Gluck, and with Metastasio. The symphonies that he wrote for his own orchestra in Dubrovnik, and they are of the type that young Mozart encountered in his early days, and probably turned his hand in the first symphonies that Mozart wrote, the three-movement symphonies. They're very much like these symphonies of Sorkochevich that have survived.
Bojan Bujic, and my thanks to him for sharing his knowledge and his performing editions of this repertoire. Let's end today's programme and our journey through Dalmatia with music by Luka Sorkochevich. Wolfgang Brunner conducts Salzburger Hofmusik in one of his symphonies.
The Symphony No. 1 by Luka Sorkoczewicz, played there by the Salzburger Hofmusik, conducted by Wolfgang Brunner. And that brings to an end today's edition of the Early Music Show. It was presented by Catherine Bott and produced in Salford by Les Pratt. Well, on tomorrow's programme, Lucy Skeeping will be your guide through the life and the music of Purcell. Not Henry, but Daniel. That's at the same time, just after the 1 o'clock news. And there's plenty more choral music here on BBC Radio 3 tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow's edition of The Choir is the first of six special programmes presented by some of the leading figures in the British choral scene. Susie Digby launches the series by showcasing the dazzling talents of some of the world's best youth choirs. The Choir is tomorrow afternoon at 5. It's 2 o'clock now, and in an hour's time, Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring marks the start of an explosive period in European history. Premiered in 1913, it's the starting point of the historian Simon Sharma's musical portrait of a period in history. He'll be charting the social turmoil and political pressures that shaped the music of the time from 1913 to 1938 in the first of four musical journeys through history in Saturday Classics. That's at 3 o'clock this afternoon here on Radio 3. And later, a somewhat lighter trip through history comes live from the Metropolitan Opera House in New York, when we join the audience there for a performance of Rossini's comic opera Le Comte Ori. Juan Diego Flores takes the title role, with Pretty Yenda singing the Countess Adele. Opera on Three, live from the Met, is at 6 this evening.
When daffodils begin to peer. For many cultures across the world, the four seasons define life through a constant cycle of rebirth and renewal. For the Radio 3 Lunchtime Concert, pianist Joseph Middleton and four of the UK's finest young singers present a wide range of songs inspired by spring, summer, autumn and winter, and explore the wide gamut of emotions that juxtapose and intertwine human feelings with events reflected in nature. Tenor Andrew Kennedy, soprano Sophie Bevan, mezzo-soprano Jennifer Johnson and baritone Marcus Farnsworth perform songs inspired by the seasons from the Lammermuir Festival in Haddington. The Radio 3 Lunchtime Concert this week from Tuesday to Friday at 1 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
Well, that's all to come later this week at Lunchtime on Radio 3. Now, though, we hark back to what you may have missed last Monday lunchtime, when we crossed live to Wigmore Hall in London for our regular live lunchtime concert. It was introduced by Louise Fryer.
One of Norway's brightest and most engaging young performers, pianist Christian Ila Hadland, is making his debut at Wigmore Hall as a solo performer this lunchtime, although it's not his first time in the venue. He's appeared here in the past as a member of the Razumovsky Ensemble. But it was in 2006 that Christian Ila's artistry first captured international attention when he accompanied René Fleming at the Nobel Peace Prize concert in Oslo. And I first came across him on the south coast of Norway at the Risør Festival, the annual chamber music festival set up by Leif Ove Andsnes and Lars-Anders Tumte. Whether as an accompanist or a soloist, whenever there was a particularly challenging piano part in any of the concerts, Christian Ila was the man to be found beaming from the keyboard, making light of anything thrown at him. Hailed in his homeland and beyond as a rare talent, it's not surprising he was snapped up as a BBC Radio 3 New Generation artist, and he's been a member of the scheme since 2011. He's playing sonatas by Schubert and Mozart in this recital, and it's Mozart to start. One of his later works, a piano sonata in D major K576, that Mozart composed in 1789 as the first in a set of six intended for Princess Friederike, the daughter of King Friedrich Wilhelm II. Mozart had just returned from a trip to the King's Palace in Berlin, and this was the only one of the sonatas he actually completed. Mozart himself called it an easy sonata. In fact, technically, it's extremely demanding. And here comes Christian Ila Hadland to begin his debut solo recital with this virtuosic D major sonata by Mozart.